Your Bibles turn to Luke chapter 14. We're looking at verses 15 to 24 today. The message is really tied actually to last week's message because Jesus is still at the home of the prominent Pharisee. He was invited there for a meal, and he arrives, he heals a man, if you remember that from last week, and then challenges them to be more consistent in their life. Anybody remember the word consistent from last week? Did anybody practice it in their life, work through it? All right, good. It was on my calendar every day, along with these two others. Not only did he teach them about consistency, when the people were trying to find their seats, where they're going to be seated, he began to talk to them about humility. That was another area of their lives that he wanted to work in. And then Jesus had a conversation with the host about being hospitable to more than just friends and family, but reaching out to people outside of his home, whether no matter what their condition is, poor, crippled, lame, blind, whatever it is, reach out to people. Now, at that dinner table, all this is going on, and I'm pretty sure Jesus is talking, and up to this point, some of them might have been a little uncomfortable. I mean, like, he's been talking, and we're not living that way. You ever been in one of those situations, and it's like, we need to move on in this conversation? Well, upon his last thought, one of the people sitting at the table, I think he meant to change the subject, but he just opened another door for Jesus is what he did. And so he says this in Luke 14, verse 15. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Heavenly Father, speak your word to our hearts. Change our lives, we pray. Amen. When we think of heaven, many times we think about the great banquet that we're going to have. In fact, in Revelation 19:7, it kind of gives us a glimpse of what that will be. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself." The church is the bride. The church, we're preparing ourselves. We're doing that this morning by meeting together, going deeper into his word to prepare our hearts to learn what Jesus taught and to live it out. I believe that is going to be the most incredible wedding feast you will ever attend. It will be all the redeemed of all the ages gathered together worshiping. You get to sit by Moses, maybe. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Sit by Enoch. And I just think about, you go, "Well, I want to sit with my family. I want to be with the family of God." Amen. Most likely, though, the man who spoke up and said, "Hey, I'm expecting this great feast one day," he wasn't probably thinking about heaven. And the reason is because most of the Jewish leadership of that day was thinking that God was sending a Messiah who would be a political leader. They thought he was coming and would set up an earthly kingdom that would be changed. They didn't have this heavenly thought process in their minds. And he's excited, man. I can't wait to see what the kingdom of God, meal is going to be. As believers, though, we know now from the word of God that we're going to feast with Jesus one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb of God, and we're going to get to be with him. But in response to the statement that the man makes, Jesus begins to tell a story. A story is here, always is there to teach a spiritual truth to us, and I hope we learn from it today. Verse 16 says, Jesus replied with this story. It was a parable. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. Now, if you go over to Matthew, you can read the same story as Jesus is telling it, but he adds to it that it was a wedding reception is what it was. Now, in my personal experience, I know more about wedding receptions today than I ever have before. I know that you got to sit down and prepare this guest list. When I got married, I just kind of left that to my wife. My wife, as my bride-to-be at that point, I'm like, "Whoever you want to invite, I'm planning on being there." And She's like, who in your family's going to come? I don't care. I'm going to be there. But I understood you had to put this list together, and you begin to consider who you're going to invite. And then all of a sudden, the list starts getting reduced due to the venue, due to the cost, due to whatever else we want to add to that. You know, it's like, how many can we have come? Well, the list gets put together, and then you send out the invitations to those you're inviting to come. And you kind of wait for these RSVPs to come back, because you understand not everybody, because of travel, this and that, can make it. But you got to have some type of number to work with for those who say they're coming, to make the proper preparations for food, decorations, seating, all of that. In verse 16, it tells us the invitations went out. And we're kind of given the clue in the next verse that the RSVPs have come back, and people have said, I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it. And so the banquet now is about to happen. In verse 17, we go on to read these words. When the banquet was ready, the time had come, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. Verse 18, but they all, catch that word, all, began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pair of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I don't know how many of the all that said they were coming, but it was enough that the scripture said all began to make excuses. Those who said, I'll be there, began to say, when the time really came, said, we can't make it. Let me ask you, have you ever made plans for a birthday party, maybe a wedding, maybe a family get together, and at the last minute, all of a sudden people begin to call and go, I can't show up, and you get one of a number of excuses of why they can't be there. I want you to listen to the excuses that we hear from the people that couldn't make this great feast. The first one said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Now, it's interesting to me, because why in the world would the man buy a field without ever looking at it or inspecting it? How many people have bought property in here without ever looking at it? Because I've got some land to sell you in Florida. Right? You know the concept. And he hadn't seen the field up to this point, so why in the world did he need to go see it now? You own it, whatever, good or bad, it's yours. The next guy says, I've just bought 5 pair of oxen, and I want to try them out. I want you to think about this. This is like the excuse of saying, I just bought a car, but I've never seen it, never driven it, and I want to give it a test drive. I don't know about you, but I usually test drive the car before I buy it, right? I want to make sure it's there. Let me put it in the modern day, though, and let me move it beyond a car. Let me tell you what it really was. Imagine buying a tractor. I hadn't seen it. They tell me it's got all the lift stuff on it, but I think it has wheels, but I bought it. And I know your party's important, but I want to go drive my tractor. Think about it. You'd rather go to a party or work with oxen. But that's his excuse. Third man says, and I think he has the best excuse of them all, I just got married. But here again, I have to ask a question. Did he just get married? Was this a surprise wedding? I mean, didn't he know he was going to get married at the same time that this other wedding banquet's going to go on? Maybe he told his bride, hey, listen, we'll get married. We'll invite everybody to come to their wedding, you know, let them pay. And his wife said, finally, no, we're not doing that. I don't know. But he said, hey, I'm going, but he's going to get married at the same time. It just doesn't make sense. So what is the point of Jesus' story? Most likely in the context, you got to understand, when Jesus talks, there is a principle for today, but there is also a principle in the context of the culture and the people he was talking to then. He's talking to a group of Pharisees, these religious leaders, And Jesus is really trying to tell them the mindset of the Jewish community in regards to the Messiah arriving. It was the Jews, you have to understand, who were the first to receive the invitation to be the people of God. God chose Israel. He invited them to be my special people. And they declare, we are the people of God. Right? You read throughout the Old Testament. And it's God who promised them, I'm going to send a redeemer and rescue you. However, when the redeemer shows up, Jesus, the promised Messiah, they made all kinds of excuses of why they did not believe him or why we can't follow you. And Jesus is using this parable to help them at that table understand. Now, how does it apply to our story today? Well, the gospel message, which is what it's really about, Jesus, the invitation to know Jesus as Savior, is gone out to people. In fact, it's gone out to the entire world. That's why we continue to send our missionaries around the world so that people can hear this invitation to know Jesus as Savior. There are those who have declared, I have a desire to follow Jesus. But the problem is many of them, when they actually have to follow Jesus and follow through in faith, when actions needed in their life to show that they're a believer, people begin to make excuses. Well, I follow Jesus, but I kind of like my friends. I like what they do. And we can't live in two worlds. You can only have one master. And they begin to make excuses of why they can't follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Excuses why I can't read the Bible. You know, King James, it's old, you know, and the new stuff is just too new. And you know, it's the modern language is just too modern. It needs to be classic. Come on, I'm being real with you. This is what we hear. And so it's like, well, find one in between. And you'll find I try to use different translations just to kind of hit different sects of what you might think is important. And they make excuses. I can't read the Bible. I can't pray. That is the lamest excuse. I just want you to think about it for me. You can't say, God, I love you. That's prayer. God, I need you. That's prayer. And we make it so hard. I can't really share my faith. I'm not good at that. I can't really pursue a life of holiness. Oh, yes, you can. Here's simple excuses that people use. Ready? I'm too busy. I've got more important things to do. I do not have time. There's too many demands in my life. I cannot do everything, so I have to make choices. You've heard these things. And I'm going to tell you, all of those excuses are shallow. And I'll tell you why. Because we have no problem making time for things that are important to us. You make time to eat. When I mentioned death by chocolate, man, there was a lot of you came alive in this place. You're like, I'm going to be there. The question is, are you going to be there? Or are you going to make an excuse? We make time for our games. We make time to visit friends. We make time to watch TV. Why? Because those things matter to us. This is a sad statement, but I'm going to make it. For some people, following Christ is simply just not important enough. And again, the main reason, they don't want to put the effort in that's needed to follow Jesus. In fact, they are more enthralled with the happiness they get from the world and the people than they think they get from God. Let me tell you this. The most important thing in life is not happiness, but it is faithfulness before the Lord. When you get to heaven one day, God's not going to go, were you happy? If you're happy, come on in. No, he's going to ask, have you been faithful? That's why we're all looking forward, the saints, for that statement that comes from him, well done, good and faithful servant. It's then that you'll really understand the greatest happiness that you could ever know. But church, when we make excuses for why we don't follow the Lord, I want you to know he is not fooled by it. Listen to the response of the master of the banquet when the servant comes back with all of these excuses. Verse 21. The servant returned and told his master what they had said, all these excuses. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." The first time the servant comes back and he says, a lot of the guests, if not all of them, have made excuses, and the master wasn't happy about that. So he immediately sends the servant back out so they could invite people from the streets, from right in the town. Right? Just go outside, just find them and tell them to come. So the invitation went out to anyone who was out there, no matter what their condition was. And then some others were given the opportunity of coming to this banquet. The story, you have to understand, is really parallel to the life of Jesus coming to redeem the people of Israel, as I mentioned. The first ones turned down going to the banquet because they had other things to do. That was the religious group. I have my religious duty I got to follow. I got to stay with this and what you're asking and what you're calling us to do, because next week we're going to be talking about the cost of a discipleship. He's about to say, you know what, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you. I know we want people to come and feel the love, and as I even sang, the peace of God, and it's all real and it's all there, but it cost us. It cost us to live for Jesus. You go, I thought it was all free. You know what? Grace is free. The forgiveness, and listen to me carefully. The condemnation that would come upon you and send you to hell without Jesus, you are free from that in Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, to follow him in this day and in this hour that we live in is going to be costly. The Messiah comes and they're missing him coming and they're making excuses about it. Well, I've got to stay religious. So, since they're not interested, the servant is sent out to the town, just outside, to the streets and the alleys. Go find whoever you go. This is connecting to Jesus sitting with sinners and tax collectors and the Jewish people that he taught. And he said, whoever might believe, the religious people have rejected me, but I'm sending the message to you. You are welcome. Come. Everybody who wants to be a part of the banquet, you're welcome. And then there's still room. And the master says, well, listen, go out again. This time you're going to have to go outside the city. You're going to have to go to the country lanes. You're going to have to go out there to the outlying areas. Look behind the hedges, wherever you have to go. This is referring to us hearing the gospel as Gentiles. The good news of the great banquet was going to everybody. There is plenty of room in the banquet hall. The whole invitation is about sharing the gospel. Inviting people to be a part of the kingdom of God. It was God's plan from the beginning. He was never going to leave the Gentiles out. It was all, I'll go back to the Old Testament. We're all included there, but it was a process. He did have a people, the Jewish people. He loved them. He still loves them. He is still watching over them. But God wanted to invite all people, every tribe, every language, every nation, every person to have the invitation to come and fill his house. He continues to offer that message of forgiveness to anyone who will respond. And he'll do so until he comes and the bride goes to the banquet. But if his invitation is refused or even said, yeah, I'd like to come, but then begin to make excuses of why you can't go to the banquet, it's going to be your loss. One day, the banquet hall of heaven will be filled with all of those who have accepted God's love and have been transformed by the grace of God. This morning, I want to close by simply giving you three thoughts that this scripture makes me think about. The first one is this: God invites us to his banquet in heaven. In other words, God has invited everyone to be a part of an intimate and an eternal relationship with Him. Regardless of who you are, He has extended that invitation. And through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our provision for salvation and forgiveness was made at the cross. This morning we celebrated just the moment of the bread, His body, and the cup, His blood. And we partake of those in remembrance of what He did on a cross for us. He died once and for all sin of all time. That's why we get in these places, Lord, I sinned again, and Lord, I don't know if You're going to forgive me this time. He died once and for all. And that's why Peter says, listen, come, repent, turn. Don't stay in that, but ask God to forgive you, and He'll cleanse you and make you completely holy again. I don't want you to ever think you're not invited because you're too messed up. I've got a limp now from messing up, and he wouldn't accept me. Listen, David accepted Mephibosheth and put him under the table. Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson, and he was lame because they dropped him at birth. But David, when he began to reign, he said, is there anybody in Saul's kingdom still left? And I said, well, this little boy and Mephibosheth, but he's lame. But it was David who invited him to his table, and he put him at the table. And it was the tablecloth that covers all the stuff that we tend to look at and go, they're not good enough. I want you to know God invites you to the table. You're good enough, not because of you, because of Him. The provision has been made for us, and He's inviting us. The forgiveness is there. And He offers wisdom, guidance, His Holy Spirit to help us live this out. It's the most astounding opportunity you will ever be given. It's just yours for the taking. God invites us to the banquet in heaven. But my second thought is this in the scriptures, many will refuse the invitation. That as a pastor, and I hope as a church, that saddens our hearts. Some people will actually refuse the invite. The salvation that God offers, I'll redeem your life for eternity. But there are people, I don't want to talk about faith. I don't want to hear about sin and judgment. I do not want to hear about Jesus. And maybe you live in one of those places. Another side thought of mine in regards to this is there are some people who have said, well, I really want what God's offered, but they don't have the strength or the tenacity to walk the walk. There are people that talk about faith. They sing the songs of faith. They play the game of faith. But when it comes down to actually following Jesus every day of their life, they give one excuse after another of why they can't live for Him. Well, I got this addiction, and I can't seem to break it. I want you to know God is a deliverer. The problem is you're not spending enough time in His presence for Him to deliver us. We're just doing the church game where, I'm here, and if God, You got an hour to work on me. I thought we were to give Him our whole life. When I leave here, God, You keep working on me. My final thought is this in regards to the scripture. We need to proclaim the message urgently. The master of his house, a master told the servant, go out and compel them, urge them, make every effort that they know that they're invited to come to the banquet. Because can you imagine? They go to the countryside and it's like, hey, we're having a banquet back in town and you're invited. Why would I be invited? That's how people think. Well, I've got my own beliefs. I don't need to come to that. Church, I am telling you, Jesus is the only way. And you go, well, that's kind of kind of one-sided. That's just, you know, you got to be broader than that. No, I have the Word of God that tells me that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. I can only tell you the truth. This is where we've got to begin to walk. But Jesus isn't telling us you got to force people to come to Him. He isn't telling us you got to force them to come to church. I don't want you to force anybody to come here. And if you get an excuse of why they can't be here on March the 10th, go to somebody else. Wow, that's a novel idea. I didn't know I could ask two people. If you've got a van, bring them, fill it up. Leave the kids at home. No, bring the kids. No, but I think we just got to get to this place where there are people going to make excuses. But how important is their salvation? Does it really matter? I think it does. We are called to be passionate and determined to let people know about the great banquet. And I know that we can only invite them. I know we can only say, you're welcome to come. I can't make them. But the good news is this, if they do respond to the invite, I know that God has a seat prepared for them. There is room for them. Worship team, would you come? The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. That's why, as the people of God, we have got to have the words of God in us. That's why at times I come back to memory verses. I think we need to get the Word of God in us so it just kind of flows out of you. And that way they hear it, they see the life, and they want to say, what's in your life? We got to get involved in people's lives. Make every effort to communicate the truth of Jesus. God wants them to experience heaven. Heaven's going to be the greatest and the grandest banquet of all, the great banquet, a banquet of all banquets. And the main attraction, understand this, will not be the food. It will be the host. The main attraction. We take people to Disney, not so they can meet Walt Disney. It's all the attractions. We go to certain things. This is the one event that totally changes everything about how we think about going to somebody's house. When you're invited to somebody's house, you go, I wonder what food they're going to have. Or do you walk to their home going, it doesn't matter about the food, it's the host. I'm going because the host invited me. I'm telling you, I'm going to heaven because of the host. Because I want to meet the one who died for me. When Jesus showed up with the disciples and Jesus walks in the room, he says, see right here, here's where they nailed me. I'm alive forevermore. And you're invited to come to the greatest banquet of all time. Just don't make an excuse. As we close this morning, I want us just to lift a worship song again. And just before we do this, I'm going to have a moment where I want to invite, if you've never met Jesus, I want to invite you to know Him today. Or maybe you've followed Him, but you begin to make excuses. I want you to know you're welcome home again. Would you bow your heads? If you're in the room and you need to accept Jesus as Lord, the invitation, you have felt the Holy Spirit prompting you. There were three in the first service, and we're in this service now, and the Holy Spirit is prompting you and saying, I'll forgive you. And I know the enemy is lying on the other side going, listen, you're messed up. You've done too much. There's no way you can be forgiven. And God is going, don't forget my payment. Remember, remember, remember. I gave my body, I gave my blood so that you could be redeemed. And that's the invitation. God loves you. If that's you this morning, if you walked away from God and you're going, well, will he forgive me again? He will. He's the God of a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. Why? Because he loves you. If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand up, balcony, main floor? You slip it up. Yes, ma'am. Just looking across. Yes. Looking across. I just don't want to miss anybody. Just three more seconds. I'm just looking across. One, two, three. I want you to pray with me for these that raised their hands this morning. I want them to pray, but I want all of us just to, with them, as though we're leading and we're helping, but I want us to reconfirm it in our own hearts. Would you say, Heavenly Father, I believe in you, and I ask you to be Lord of my life. Today, I say, no more excuses. I am following you. I look forward to the great banquet. In Jesus' name, amen.